Hey, got the wrong way.
What mumbling was that? And we're live.
What mumbling was that?
Yeah.
And we are live. How is everyone?
Alive.
All right. You?
I'm good, thank you. I am good. We're going to dive straight into...
That was an exciting start, wasn't it? Fucking hell.
I mean, Luke gave us nothing. Didn't bother. He's tired. He's been travelling around, hasn't he?
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Oh, there he is. Right, we're going to dive into Man City, Chelsea. Mitchell, take it away.
Hello, mate. I don't know where to begin, to be honest with you.
Maybe start with a listen.
Listen. it was a good first half, but I feel like I say that every week. It's a good first half, and then it's a sloppy second half. We tried, and I'm not angry at Maresca for trying it. We tried the high line against City and it did put them under a little bit of pressure. Like I say, again, in the first half, we had a good bit of control. I am going to moan about Jackson later, but to give him a little bit of, positivity, he did do a nice little assist for Madueke, albeit from the new signings mistake. You see a little header he tried to do back to Edison. What was he thinking? My God. I did feel a little bit sorry for him. He looks so shell-shocked after that. And then he gets booked straight after for a funny little slide tackle he got on Palmer. And all the while, I'm thinking, right, he's nervous as fuck. Look at him. Put him under pressure. Make them pay for this because we cannot hold a one-goal lead. Did we make them pay for it? No, we did not, because we have Jackson to save the day. He's, what is he, 9-7 now? He upsets me so much. He can't hit a fucking barn door anymore.
So the chance that he should have taken on his left,
yeah,
where Cole Palmer played him through, it was a heavy ball by Cole Palmer. So that's issue number one with that. But then all he's got to do is tapping him with his left.
That's what I'm saying. Like you are in a top club in the Premier League, you should be good enough, even if it is a bit of a bad ball, just fucking whack it first time with your left. He never shoots with his left, ever. But you just try and you didn't even have a lot of power on it there. It was an open goal. It was begging for it. But he always tries to control it onto his right. And then obviously everyone gets back. It was chance after chance for him after that. The one before he got subbed off was the worst. I can't remember what he did now. It was a great ball through the middle. I think, I can't remember, it might have been Enzo Fernandez. He should have played it back across the box because I think we had two players lining up for it. And I think the game was 1-1 at that stage. He tries to shoot and he sort of slips as he shoots and he ends up just passing it to the keeper. And that was his last bit of the game. Maresca had enough at that stage. I don't know if maybe we needed to change up the tactics a little bit in the second half. The high press wasn't working anymore.
It was interesting from a kind of the neutral point of view because Man City went to long ball football.
Yeah.
Which was strange to see, but was effective because of the high line and because they've got that big striker.
And they got the new guy. I can't remember his name.
The Egyptian fellow on the left wing.
Yeah, he was rapid, and that was working perfectly for him. So if it's not Haaland, it's him. And I was gonna say, quote Luke here. It was FIFA football. It was a little triangle chip through ball every time. Just think over the defensive wall. Player runs onto it. And it was opening us up. And I don't know, maybe could have changed something. But like a few people have said, it's our back four again. There's no voice. There's no real leadership there to say, this isn't working. Like, fucking drop a little bit.
But your right back is your captain.
Reece James, yeah. But I mean, it's what, second game back?
But
he don't even know this Chelsea team anymore.
It doesn't. So, like, he's the leader, though. He doesn't need to be match fit to say, let's drop back, lads. Like, this is madness.
Yeah, you're right. But again, I do think, like, you'd have a bit more confidence and a louder voice if you are playing week in, week out. But I think he's so nervous getting fucking injured again. I don't think he's done three games in a row in about 4 years. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, they had cottoned on to what we were trying to do and they were getting the better of us. And, you know, I think we might have been able to hold off, maybe get a draw out of the game, but Sanchez, my God, he likes to try and ruin things for us. Like the Haaland goal, I think it was about 10 minutes before that, there was another opportunity exactly like that. It was almost pinpoint the same. It was the long ball over to Haaland on the right. Haaland obviously gets it down. I think it was Colwill both times. He gets the better of. He weren't having a good day against him. But Sanchez was on his line for this one. You know, where you should fucking be. Trust your defender to hold him off and then he's got to try and have a long-range shot, which he did, and Sanchez saves it. Brilliant. But for his goal, what's he doing? What on earth is he doing all the way out there?
Oh my God. As soon as I saw it, I just couldn't believe it. It was mental.
I couldn't believe it. And even if, like, all right, you realize you've come too far and you can see it in his head. He's got, oh, I've fucking come too far. I've made a mistake here. And he sort of potters about for a second.
He doesn't backpedal as fast as he could,
yeah.
Does he?
Yeah, yeah. And he's thinking about it. Like,
that, honestly, I was in stitches looking at that. His face when he realized that Haaland was on the ball.
Yeah.
It was just oh, fuck.
And he's slipping as well, just like Jackson. He's going back to last season. He's making a lot of mistakes now.
So I'm going to ask it as well.
Go on.
Where was Cole Palmer?
Oh, don't start this. Cole Palmer did all right. There's nothing wrong with his performance. He didn't make mistakes. He should have had an assist. Like we said, it was a bit of a heavy touch. But unfortunately, he's passing to a striker that can't strike.
Did he do enough in the game for you?
I don't know what you want me to say.
Because
yeah.
Like I look at that game, and again, I am a fan of Cole Palmer, and I think he has the ability to become world class for sure. But you wouldn't say City dominated the ball, so he's got a chance to be in and influence that game because of the way City was playing as well. I just don't think he did. Other than playing the ball through once to Jackson, I can't remember him doing much else.
He did create another little opportunity. It might have been Jackson again. It was quite. I think it was Caicedo straight through the middle, and then Palmer through to. I'm sure it was Jackson, but again, it was just a shit shot. So there were opportunities, but I mean, I do think it was a slightly different sort of system that we were trying to play. Maybe that wasn't to Palmer's liking. But no, I don't know. Maybe he just didn't turn up. I mean, he has scored against them before. Do you know what? I just think...
A penalty, yeah.
All right, mate.
it's all right. I'm doing you a favour because he's got West Ham this weekend. So
true. Yeah. Although, you know...
So what? I'm going to fucking smash him.
to be honest.
Nicholas Jackson's going to turn up. Hat-trick for Jackson.
Could you imagine?
Yeah, oh, probably.
I think we've played City... at the wrong times this season. The opening game when they were still on fire and now when their return to form is fully back on.
I don't even think they look that good.
I'm going to say that next week, FYI. Just...
Yeah. No, I think against Jews, they just... Well, you've done that typical Chelsea thing where, like you rightly said, Mitch, at the start of that game, when you went 1-0 up, they should have just gone all out for it. And they should have taken those chances, right? And I think Cole Palmer is equally at fault to Jackson in that chance because he should have made it easier for Jackson. That should have been a goal all day long.
It's an overhead right? pass for sure, right?
Yeah.
I was hoping he'd shoot himself, to be honest. Do you know what? He probably, in his mind, went to pass, saw it was Jackson, thought about not doing it, and was in two minds and ended up with a poor pass.
Well, that's still him partially at fault, isn't it? But anyway, I like Cole Palmer. Although, actually, yeah, I am going to have a little tangent. I watched a video recently and it was of him talking and he's too lippy. And it just it winds me up. And I can't like him as much as a football player anymore because of it. But
he's got a bit of an Ed and Eddie face, hasn't he?
Yeah. But you should have put that game to bed. In the like, obviously, it's not going to be to bed because it's against City. But I think you should have at least made it a little bit more comfortable for yourselves, knowing that you're going to do that Chelsea dip at some point in the game, right?
Yeah, it was inevitable. And like I say, put pressure on that new defender. He was panicking in that first half. And if we had gone in 2-0 half time, I think Maresca would have said, right now, the defensive line drops back. You don't need to be that high now. And you're looking at a different game. But because, again, I think you know, you're 1-0, you know you can't hold this lead. In his mind, he probably wanted to make that the back four, back five, go drop 5 yards. But he's thinking, we need to get that second goal first. But unfortunately, City turned up in the second half. The dinks over the wall were working. Didn't work, did it? Classic Chelsea at the moment.
I mean, it is a hard ask, as you say. Like, City are coming back to form now. Again, you're playing them when they've just brought two, maybe three players into the team because they've got unlimited resources. So, your defence is a bit like Spurs at the moment. You can't keep anyone fit. So,
yeah, there's a lot of rotation. I mean, Kyle Wheel would come back today. And he struggled against Haaland. And I do think, again, the new boy, I can't remember his name, the Greek lad. He looked sharp. He looked like he wanted to prove a point and he was ripping the defenders apart.
The Egyptian.
Chalobah's second game back. I mean, last week he looked very good, but that was against Wolves. As you know, Clive.
Good team. Good team.
And it's just, there's no consistent, solid back four. There's no, I know you say Reece James, he should be the leader, but I don't know, he's not yet at the moment, given all his injuries. But there's something missing in the back four.
Like you are still like you've never replaced Thiago Silva, right?
Absolutely. Oh, I would have had him for another season. My God. But I think I don't know. What are the two injuries they're at the moment? I think it's Badiashile and Fofana. And I think they were doing all right. They were maybe the usual centre backs. But now you've got Tosin coming in and Colwill and I can't remember who the other guy comes in, Arabayo or whatever his name is. I don't know. Something's not quite right. Like their City's last goal, for example, it was nice by Foden, and the ball to him was nice. But the back four, again, we were still in a high line, but the line had disappeared. It was a nice bit of football, but we made it look nice. It was too easy.
Yeah, was it Colwell that went super tight to Haaland and then he just flicked it around?
Yeah,
and at that point, Foden's already running on from a deep position. So
it was poor defending.
It was poor defending, yeah. We've got no one quick enough to catch.
I mean, Haaland was going nowhere. He had his back to goal and the other player tried to help him for some reason and watch Foden's run. I would have followed Foden.
He just left that gap for that pass.
I think they probably just weren't expecting it from City because they did change that up quite. I think it might be the introduction of Marmoush maybe that has made them rethink the way that they're playing, but maybe they just weren't expecting it and that's why it was kind of easy on the day. Although saying that, they did have a half-time talk between the first half and the second half, didn't they? So maybe something should have been shored up a little bit.
Well, yeah, and obviously Pep knows Maresca. He knows him inside and out, so he's
going. Well, that goes both ways, though, right?
Well, maybe, but with Pep's experience, I think.
I don't disagree. And as I say, and as Bob said, look, you just don't expect City to play long ball. So fair play to City changing then, it and finding a way to make it work for them.
But this is what I'm saying. Like, when you notice that, you know, should you have the know-how to be like, all right, this isn't working, or they're looking like they're going to get through, they're looking like they're going to start banging
in No, Mitchell, you take the Ange approach and don't change anything.
Don't change anything. But this is what I'm saying. I kind of understand it because it was only that nervy one-goal lead. He really wanted to go and get that second goal. He's thinking, get that second, and then we can probably try and sit back a bit and play this a bit differently. The gamble didn't pay off. And then I think their goals were all within 20 minutes. The gamble didn't pay off, and the defence just capitulated. But we've said it all season. That is the problem this season, is we got good attacking players, but the defence is lacklustre. And if you're not outscoring teams, you are going to keep dropping points, and that's what this win has been.
Yeah, and you are a young team, and there's going to be inconsistent.
Youngest in the Premier League.
Oh, fucking hell, it's their turn to start the old young team excuse, is it?
youngest £1 billion squad ever recorded in the Premier League.
Listen, come on.
Hey!
Money don't buy happiness, all right?
Certainly does not. Anyone else want to weigh in on Man City, Chelsea?
Palmer up front. No, not Cole Palmer. Nicholas Jackson up front.
Oh, that boy. You know, I want to love him, but Jesus Christ. None in seven. I mean, that's even worse than your boy, isn't it? Havertz.
No.
Is it not?
Havertz scored during the week against Zagreb.
No, come on. I'm in the Premier League.
Oh, when was his last goal? I don't think it's seven games. Yeah. It might well be.
Do you know what? Jackson will go to you next season and he'll have a good...
I think we're done with buying Chelsea rejects now. I think we're done with it. Surely we've got to look elsewhere now.
Sterling really burned that bridge, didn't he?
He really has. Lucky enough, we ain't bought him. We can send him back at some point.
Oh, I hope you end up buying him. Just for the laughs.
Absolutely will not.
Oh, someone's got to take him. We might be bringing Kepa back, mightn't we?
Really?
Yeah, Wolf.
He's having a good season.
He would do better.
What about Lukaku? I swear you bought him again, yeah?
Well, in goal.
Yeah. He'd probably score more goals than Jackson while he's in goal.
Getting to take the penalties.
I don't know if we've still got Lukaku on the books anymore. I think we might have actually officially got rid of him.
I mean, even if you did, you're just buying back again anyway, so don't worry.
For 200 mil this time.
Yeah, 200 mil.
Just say you bought a house or something, whatever dodgy dealings you do.
Yeah.
Right, let's move on to Aston Villa v West Ham. Bob.
Hi, Clive. Thanks for having me. It was a game I was expecting to lose, and we didn't, so I'm happy.
What was the score?
It's 1-1. To be honest, in the first 20 minutes, I was expecting it to be about 15-0 to Aston Villa because they were all over us.
They looked like they was going to take you to the cleaners, didn't they?
Yeah. Do you know what it reminded me of? Was the West Ham Arsenal game where yous were just all over us for the first 20 or 30 minutes. I was really expecting to get absolutely battered. But we came back from it. Obviously, they scored in the first half. I think it was just a good goal, to be fair. I'm actually trying to remember it in my head now. It was, what's his face? Would it? Murphy? No. He plays for Newcastle.
Jacob Ramsey.
Yeah, he scored. And I think it was genuinely just a good goal, to be honest.
It was a very well-worked goal, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Not too much to complain about. But the rest of the game, I'm not going to lie, I was a little bit concerned going into that game because obviously Villa are a good team. We're still missing Bowen. We're still missing Fulkrug. Still missing Somerville.
Oh, here he goes.
So, I'm getting to my point here, right? But I was thinking, like I have done a lot of the time this season, where are the goals going to come from? And I think in the second half, we've done a really good job. And I was really impressed with Wan-Bissaka playing in that wing-back position, getting further forward. What he was doing really well was dragging defenders in to certain positions so that that people could put a cross in, which led to the goal pretty much. That whole right-hand side, as well as Emerson on the left-hand side playing at wing-back, worked really well in the second half.
It was a great ball and a great header as well.
It was, yeah. And to be honest, we had two or three more chances from just those after crosses. It.
Yeah.
We also, well, we had a goal disallowed in like the final seconds, which was offside, to be fair. We had a minor penalty shout. I don't know. I looked back at it. The VAR didn't even look at it. And to be honest, I think if it was given, it would have been soft. But I don't know if any of you saw it. But basically, Paqueta was attempting a bicycle kick.
There's a little tug.
It does do a little tug, though. And there you think, on another day, if that gets given on the pitch, then maybe that gets given. But again, I think it would have been soft, really. So nothing to shout about there. I think all in all, it was pretty fair, the result in the end.
The second half, I think you was the better team the second half.
Oh, by far, I would say. Yeah. And obviously, they had that spell in the first half. But what I liked about it is that we didn't just look down and out. And I've mentioned in the past, when we go 1-0 down, we just have this kind of defeatist attitude. And that didn't happen at all this week. If anything, I think it spurred us on to try a bit harder. Paqueta's doing really well in that kind of false nine position as well. I don't know whether he just didn't like the previous manager, because, as I've said on loads of the podcasts before, he's had a shit season up until this point, to be honest. Hasn't really been doing much. But he has been playing really well. And also, what an absolute shithouse he is. But I kind of like it. I like having a bit of shithousery at West Ham now. You know, now that it's the dark arts era of football, Clive.
Well, I mean, we invented it. People have got to follow suit, right?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I was really, really happy with the performance and obviously the result. And it just kind of really makes me want to get those players, those attacking players back, like Bowen, and start getting a system together. And I think we could have a couple more good results this season. So I'm happy.
It kind of reminds me of the day, like, and I know a lot of West Ham fans won't be happy, but David Moyes, pragmatic football, you're not going to win every game. You're not going to dominate every game. You're not going to play fancy football every single game, but you will get results. And you'll get results against good teams, not just the teams down at the bottom of the league. And that's... Yeah. Like, Potter will start getting you playing better and better football slowly, but he can only work with the players that he's got at the moment, right?
Yeah. Definitely. I think, even just the structure, when we're pressing now, there just seems like a lot more structure to it. I did see it in a couple of the games that Lopetegui had, but it was very rare when he was in charge that there was a lot of structure to our pressing. And I don't know what he's doing, but he's definitely got the work rate up, because I haven't seen any heads drop or anything like that. Other thing to mention actually about the match, Alvarez should definitely have been sent off. I can't believe
he got away with a few, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, it was unbelievable.
At least four yellows, Jesus.
But yeah, I mean, the first three, you can kind of say, oh, maybe they weren't booking them at that point because of X, Y, and Z. But that last one where he's already on the yellow, it's just unbelievable that he didn't get sent off. But obviously, I'm not complaining about that. And I think he's been good as well since Potter's turn up. So yeah, positive sides.
So one question I have then, given the position that you were in and given the position that you're in now and given the position Tottenham are in, are you happy you changed manager?
Yeah, I am. And not because I didn't like the manager, although I didn't like the performances. I just think it was probably best for us now at that point, I would say. I know that I was very much against it when Lopetegui was in charge, but it was very clear, like I said last week, from pretty much game two, that the club didn't want him there, the fans didn't want him there. The players didn't seem to want to play for him, only on a very rare opportunity. So, yeah, I think it was the right decision. And, yeah, I'm happy to eat my words. I don't care.
I do. It'd be nice if you were falling a little bit closer to the relegation. Imagine if I got that prediction right. Good God. It's going to end up being Tottenham.
I know. Tottenham getting relegated and I'm owed a BFC. What a great season.
What a season.
Anybody else want to speak West Ham?
Was it Paqueta being a bit of a knobhead? Was it him against Luca Dina when he sort of threw that elbow back?
Yeah, that was Paqueta,
Shot. Dirty bastard. But you know what? A part of me thought, if VAR wants to have a look at that, they might call that, like, you know, play a bit aggressive. They might send him off.
He did fling his elbow back, to be fair. It was complete shithousery from Paqueta. And I understand why he'd done it. And also, they were at it all fucking game anyway. Don't think that they're innocent in any of this. I think Dina, and then about 2 seconds after that, I can't remember who went down, but someone went down saying that one of the West Ham players knocked him over in literally the same passage of, I think it was a free kick or something, would it? That they were lining up for. Yeah, so they were that at it all game as well. So fuck them guys. Well done, Paqueta.
Just the way he went there with it after. I was like, it's the second delay. It's like, oh, I've seen his elbow. Right, quick, go down.
Yeah. Bastard. It's just typical Brazilians, isn't it? They love it.
It is.
Anything to add, Luke?
No.
Wonderful.
Wow, I don't even get a fuck West Ham this week. I feel special.
Not even that. You can hear it in his voice. He's dejected. Yeah. He's down. He's out. So let's talk about Tottenham.
What do you want to know?
How are you feeling?
I feel fine, mate. I literally feel fine. I have nothing to be angry about. It's just Tottenham.
You don't mind losing that relegation battle?
No, I don't think that'll happen. I think I watched the highlights. We had chances. Yeah, stats show that as well. You know, they committed a shitload of fouls just to stop us from scoring. I mean, that's great tactics for them. 16 fouls they committed. 5 bookings. I mean, that says it all there. Passing was better. Possession was better. Total shots on target were better. You know, their keeper made some great saves. We crossed by a couple of times. Get just unlucky not to score more than what we scored. And then it's two stupid decisions from Porro, who's as we all know, is shit defensively. He don't know why he tried to do like a Romero challenge. I don't quite get it. I get the passion. I don't get why you're trying to smash a player's legs in and then you still lost the ball. If you're going to go in for those challenges, you win them. Like, anyone playing football back in the day, you're like, your parents would say, look, if you're going to go in for a challenge, you go in harder. You know, you get that ball. He tried it, fouled miserably, and then they went and scored. Then he gives the ball away, and then the guy scores a wonderful goal around that player. Obviously, the keeper couldn't see it correctly, properly. And then bottom corner, it was a great finish. Yes, Porro got the assist, which was a great ball, but that's what he's good at. He's good at crossing. But he can't defend. I don't get why he didn't put Gray on the right and put Reguilón on the left. It boggles the mind as to some of his
Madison
decisions.
Madison didn't come off the bench at all.
He wasn't. I don't think he was on the bench.
I don't think he was even selected.
He's injured.
Yeah, but he's not injured. Actually injured, is he? Did you hear what they said?
No, what did you say?
So, because he played on Thursday, was it Rotterdam? he said he was feeling a bit sore. So he rested him.
Yeah, counts as an injury, doesn't it?
I mean, honestly.
Well, there was
at least
him being
on the bench. Put him on the bench, maybe bring him on the last 10 minutes.
Well, look, I don't know. Either way, we had like two players on the bench that you'd be able to know who they were. The rest are all players that you've never heard of. If you don't follow Tottenham.
But I mean, sorry, but that team that you put out, that should be beating Leicester, no?
Oh, yeah, no, I agree. We had chances. There's no dispute that we had chances in the game. We just didn't put them away, and they put their chance away because of mistakes. It's all well and good being possession and whatnot, but if you give the ball away to the team and leave space in defence because the players come out or just kicked it backwards, like the Man City header for the Chelsea goal, like, I mean, what are you supposed to do there when you're going up there to try and attack and score, but your defence are letting you down because they just keep giving the ball away? Porro, two chances, they score two goals from it. It's just football sometimes. It just happens. Like any other day, we're scoring three goals in that game. And like I said, the amount of bookings they got in that game, a financial fair play at the end of this, we'll be looking at it and being like, what the fuck is going on here? Like,
I don't know,
we're not financial fair, but I'm tired. You guys know I'm aware. You know what I'm talking about. The whatever it is. It's just fair play, isn't it? I don't know.
Yeah, it's just fair play, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just one of those things with Tottenham at the moment. You just knew it was happening. I think, you know, the whole stats, we joke about the stats and stuff. But what was the stat? It was like he hasn't won in 9 games. Rude,
yeah.
He hasn't won in 9 games. Plays Tottenham. Of course he was going to win.
I mean,
it's like the first time since 1908 Tottenham were lost to someone who on a 9-game losing streak or something.
It's like you want it. Honestly, you could put a bet down. It's like, you know, a team hasn't like done anything for such a long time. That result's coming in at Tottenham. Yeah, just put a bet down. You heard it here first.
You, Luke. I actually blame your manager because I think he's so fucking negative. And he's just bringing in this air of negativity, this, you know, dejectedness that the players can feel it. Everyone can feel it. The fans can feel it. And when you're playing with such a low amount of confidence,
you do
things like that.
I don't want to, but I'm going to defend him here because every manager that's been at Spurs in the last 5 years is the exact same. Conte, he got down because he wasn't given the money by the board. He wasn't backed. Mourinho, the exact same. Like, they all have the same. They all get stitched up.
Yeah.
And in fairness, he could still walk away with a trophy this season.
Yep.
You look at the teams in the Europa League, and if you start getting players back with a fully fit squad, I don't see any team in that competition that you shouldn't be able to beat. I do think you're going to go out of the Carling Cup to Liverpool. I think they're going to overturn.
If we can't get in, like, there's talk of Van der Ven's in training, but I just don't see he's going
to
be fully fit.
There's also talk that Real Madrid are trying to buy him from you.
I mean, that's always going to
happen. In this transfer window.
Yeah, that's not happening.
No, well, they're struggling for centre backs themselves at the moment.
Yeah, Tottenham won't let him go. There's no way. That's not happening.
Do, man, what is happening at your club if you do let him go?
I agree. It'd be about the old days, Clive. It'd be when we used to sell to Man United all the time. And then Modric to Real Madrid, and Bauer, and Berbatov to Man United, Carrick to Man United. It's just,
if Spurs do go on, right, to win, they're in Europa, not the conference.
Europa Carling Cup and FA Cup.
If they go on to win the Europa League, even with their Premier League form at the moment, and Arsenal finish second, they don't win anything. You know where I'm going? Have they had a better season than Arsenal? A more successful season?
No.
That was it. I'm glad you said it.
I was expecting Clive to say no.
No.
So angry.
No, because that wasn't... Look, trophies are always great. Yeah, and Spurs
get a European trophy before
Arsenal. Fuck off. Mate, look, we've already won European trophies. You know, we get that, fine. Yeah, and it helps us, don't get me wrong. But that doesn't change the fact we're not in the Champions League. Oh, no. Well,
win Europa League.
No, you're in Europa League, so you're getting Champions League. That will get Champions League, which is great. Yeah. But it's not good enough. It's not good. I don't think it's good enough for Tottenham. I think finishing in a Champions League is better. I think finishing that, in a league is better. We win the trophy.
Set you up great for next season.
Right, yeah, it says it's not great, but then look at the players. Like, if we were to go by players, they're gonna, if it was me, I'd be looking at the league and be like, where did Tottenham finish? Oh, I don't know, 15th. Yeah, still above West Ham, by the way. They'd be like 16th. I'll just throw that in there.
Mate, yeah. I mean, your words are good this season.
More than likely, I normally do. Yeah, you look at the top team, like, I'll finish 15th. And then you look at the top four teams, top six teams. Like, no one wants to be coming to Tottenham. That we're not that club anymore. Well, not that we've always been that club, but we've been a club at least where there was a time where he was in the like every year Champions League, like 4 or 5 years or whatever it was running. And that's where teams would be like, okay, well, fuck me. You know, players would be like, let's go to Tottenham because they're achieving well. They've been in the Champions League for the last 3 years. You know, they're still going for it. They've improved this. They've done this. I can understand that. But if they're like, oh, do I want to go to Tottenham, who's finished 15th in the league? Yes, they won the Europa League, but their run wasn't that great. Or, you know, the teams that they played there were, you know, yes, from a club perspective, you'd be like, okay, they've won the Europa League and Champions League now. What a great achievement.
Wait, I think that'd be a great season for you.
No, it's a great, it'd be a good season. But how much shit have we been through this season? How many of these weekly podcasts do we need to do where I'm fucking annoyed of Tottenham just to have one day of being happy?
You have that run where you're, well, we've done it. You know, when we won the Champions League, we was having a really poor run in the Premier League. But we got on to win the Champions League. And I obviously would say that's a successful season.
Yeah, but that's a different thing, I think, with Chelsea, is that you, or any other club, like if you're in that Champions League, like if we go on the season after and we win the Champions League and we finish 15th, that's a great season. Yeah, that's a great season because that's the Champions League, not the Europa League.
It's Europa.
Yeah, just because it's Europa League, mate.
You haven't had a trophy since us.
I'm taking that, but you're just pointing out Arsenal. Yeah, you're just pointing out Arsenal as they don't win the league, but they didn't win the league last year or 21 years. You know, it makes no difference. So yeah, for me,
if you've had a more successful season than Arsenal, if you win the Europa League and they finish,
I mean, technically you would class the trophy as successful, but I'm not happy with that.
You would still be in the Champions League.
Me personally, I'm not happy with it. I'm happy with the Champions League, but I'm not happy with the way we've played this season.
But regardless if you're happy with it or not, do you think that's a more successful season than, say, Arsenal if they didn't win a trophy and finish second?
Well, it'd be any club that doesn't. It'd be any. I know you're trying to point at Arsenal.
Any
club that wins a trophy in that season is successful for that club. That's a success for the club if they've won a trophy that season. That's an achievement that they've won that another team hasn't won, regardless of their position. So in that perspective, yes. But me personally, as a Tottenham fan, it's been a shit season and stressful watching them week in, week out, and we get that one glory day of them winning Europa League, we're in the Champions League, that we may, as Clive said, Levy not back in. You were saying along those lines, Clive, weren't you? Like, Levy not back in the managers. Well, what's going to happen when we get the Champions League next season? Is Levy still going to do the same thing again? Keep watching the budget, keep getting Beyonce tickets? You know, doing NFL, or is he going to back the manager, which he may sack at the end of the season? Let's say we win a trophy, and then he sacks Ange because he wants a manager that's going to be able to get us through that Champions League. Does he think Ange will be that manager? Where do you go? So from my perspective, no, I don't think it is a successful season. But from a club perspective, where we need to win a trophy and stuff, and other fans will disagree with me. I know they would, because they'd be like, "Oh yeah, we got that, and Arsenal didn't get it." I don't give a shit about Arsenal. They're doing their own thing, and all the other teams doing their own thing. Oh, the rivalry between us, yeah, fair enough. It's always nice getting one over. But that's a European trophy, fine. But then they come back to us and they go, "Well, we won like 7 Premier Leagues. What have you won?" It's just another going around in circles again with this.
It's one of those things at the moment in this current period of time. We're competing in different leagues.
Exactly. Like, agreed. Yeah.
And that's the long and short of it. And when people say, Tottenham might win a trophy this season. If they do, will that really bother me as an Arsenal fan? Not really.
Yes, it fucking will.
It fucking would. Especially if it's a European trophy.
Not at all.
Maybe not if it was FA.
It's a second-rate European trophy. It's a second-rate European trophy.
You haven't won it.
I don't care about that trophy.
Fuck off.
My next question, Luke, and I know I joke.
Yeah, go on.
And there's a level of that in this as well.
Yeah, go on. Looking forward
your
to
your next five Premier League fixtures.
Yeah, go on. Run them through.
Brentford away.
Yep, tough game.
United at home.
Tough game.
Ipswich away.
Should be winning that.
City at home.
That's a tough game.
Bournemouth at home.
Okay, the way they're playing, probably a tough game as well.
Fulham away.
Fulham's always a tricky one, but we should beat them.
If you don't beat Ipswich and beat Fulham, and I'd even say at a stretch, beat United, are you in a relegation battle?
Yes, if Ipswich beat
I need to look at the table. Let me look at the table.
I wouldn't if I was you.
It's funny that I have to look at the table to say this. Normally, I wouldn't even need to give a shit about looking at the table. Be like, no,
I mean, if you don't win those first couple of games and Ipswich get a good couple of results, that becomes a six-pointer at that point, right?
No.
It does.
With Wolves, Ipswich and Southampton and Leicester City, we gave them
You are in a position where you're lucky that there's three absolute trash tier teams in the Premier League at the moment in Ipswich, Southampton and Leicester.
Yeah.
Ipswich on swish.
I think if we can pull a few people back from injury and like the Brentford game, if we can get a win over them, and then did you say it was the United?
Brentford away.
Yep.
Then United at home.
I think we'd beat United at home. United are just one of those teams that we just turn up against now. I'll say that and I'll eat my hat because that's just the way it works. But if we can beat Brentford and beat United, I think.
I mean, Man City is a guaranteed 3 points for you as well, isn't it?
It normally is, but I feel like at the moment with Man City, they're on one of those thingy runs again that they used to do.
Yeah,
they're 11, 12 games unbeaten.
Pick it up now.
Yeah,
sure.
No, they're not that good.
I mean, funny enough, the last few times we've played City, we've put them on that slump. So, like when they've gone on a long run, we've beat them, and then they've gone on like a slump, and then we did it again this season, and then they went on like another 6-7 game. That's all started from us beating them. If you go back and check, just to throw that little stat out there, for
it was also the start of your slump.
Yeah, it was.
So my last question of the night on Tottenham, Luke.
Of course.
Because of the karma, football karma being as great as it is, certain Tottenham fans, you weren't one of them.
Oh, thanks.
Wanted Tottenham to lose to Man City last season.
Yes, they did.
So that Arsenal didn't win the league.
Yep.
If you're in a position this season where losing to Liverpool could send you down,
That's a stupid question. I mean, if any Spurs fan says that they
would rather
Arsenal
get relegated,
I'm joking. Do you know what, mate? They don't need to be Spurs fans. Like we I don't.
I
care.
Mean, that would be the best football karma in life.
Oh, it would. It would. But it would be sod's law that we just draw the game and we still go down. that's Tottenham, but like, no, we don't want to win it, we don't want to lose it, we're just going to go for a draw and we go down anyway, and it's that middle ground where Arsenal still don't win it but Spurs fans are happy that they didn't lose the game, and you know, I don't care if you win the league, like I said, you've won it more than enough times now, you know, it's I don't look at it like that. I think fans need to stop it. I think fans just need to stop looking at it and be like, who gives a fuck about Arsenal like anymore? We should be caring about ourselves and going, okay, again, rivalry is always there and it's always nice to get one over your rivals. But like, why are we looking at Arsenal? Yeah, like Chelsea are starting.
You should be looking at Ipswich.
Yeah.
when you're Chelsea playing your game, regardless of what else is going on around you, like you should want to win every game of football. Every single game of football.
Exactly. We always, any football team that plays in the league should be, well, they want to win every game. That's the whole point. Yeah. But I just feel like with Tottenham at the moment is, I mean, I know I say the injuries. Yeah. But I mean, there's a lot. And I think Tom mentioned it. And I'm shouting Tom out on here. He mentioned in there that I think Spurs, or it might be yourself, that were still losing games when they had a full squad. But like,
it was Tom,
it's like, let's be honest here. Any team with a full squad still loses games in the Premier League. Doesn't matter who you're playing. There's teams that we just shit against, like Brighton. I think Spurs tend to lose against Brighton. Newcastle, again, a team that we struggle with. But we go and beat Man City. We go beat Man United. You know, we've beaten Liverpool before, barely, but we've beaten them before. Chelsea, we always lose against them, and that stupid record, even with a full squad or second team, it doesn't matter.
You're very much at this moment in time a West Ham, aren't you?
Well, pretty much. We get battered
week in, week out, but then every once in a while, you're going to get a good result. And maybe, you may even win a European trophy.
Yeah, maybe.
Hey. That season, when we done that, we won't get battered week in and week out. Come on now. But also, Luke, that is all well and good.
Yep.
Having that. But like you just can't be only getting 1 point off of Leicester this season, especially out of the two games. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, the first one was annoying because we had chances in that game, but I couldn't put them away. And it was the beginning of the season where, as we all saw, we were playing really good football. Everyone could see it, that, oh, this is amazing football tournament plan, but we just weren't finishing. And then we got like a good run of games where we were finishing and it looked like this is the football that Ange wants to play. And then the odd injury come about and then this come about, that come about, and then we had team again. And then got a couple of wins, and then we got losses with that team, as Tom was saying. We got some losses, and it wasn't looking good. And then the Chelsea game, I think, hit us where we got two injuries. I think it might have been Van der Ven and
Romero.
It was a couple of injuries. We got a few injuries in the Chelsea game. And then from there, it just a knock-on effects. And now, you know, Maddison's out. Jed Spence, who I've really liked, is injured again, which we could have done with him against Leicester. Because he covers the space and he could have played right back instead of fucking Porro.
At least you can use the injuries as an excuse now, though, right?
With the squad that you, as you said, Bob, the squad that we had was good enough to beat the way Leicester City have been playing this season. It's good enough to beat that team. We had chances. We made two shitty mistakes and they scored from it. That's football. You get punished in football. If you don't take your chances, Keith made blinding saves. We hit the crossbar a couple of times. It's just one of those games again. We just couldn't finish it. They won the game. That's it. If it was like the Crystal Palace game early on in the season, where they dominated us in that game, it was the worst football I've seen Tottenham play in a long time. If it was like that, I would have been like, mate, this is now a problem. Yeah, but we were getting chances. We were playing good football. Mistakes, and they scored from those mistakes.
It's glorious.
Oh, I know. You're obviously happy to see us do that. But we're going to see the next few games. We'll see who comes back from injury, and then you know we might be having a different discussion here, whereby Tottenham start picking up wins, and then you guys are like, oh yeah, you know what? Van der Ven's back. Romero's back. You know we've got a full squad here.
I hope Man versus AI. You do start getting some wins. Otherwise, you've really got to start predicting some losses, mate.
I'm not predicting. I'm not told you. I'm going the whole season without losses. I'm not doing
it. Do you think Van der Ven and that will stay with you when you're in the championship?
I don't know. What happened to West Ham when they did it like 10 times? What
best team to ever be relegated. You could take that title, to be fair.
Yeah.
Actually, I doubt it.
I'm not answering that question.
Sorry, Luke.
No, you're good, mate. You're good. Yeah, I mean, you obviously give other teams stick because it doesn't come about that often. So, you know, take it where you can.
Well, absolutely. But the thing is, right, with the whole Tottenham West Ham thing is that Spurs supporters kind of put their team on a pedestal where it's hilarious if you do badly because you think you're so big. Whereas I'm quite happy to accept I'm quite happy to accept that we're not one of the big clubs in the league, right?
I mean, I can't answer that. You've listened to the Spurs fans. They're fucking, some of them are ridiculous. They are ridiculous. And obviously,
you know, you're not one of the big six, didn't you?
No, we are one of the big six. we are a big six.
See
that's a proven record of that. It's just we're just having an off season. I think next season we'll pick it up.
That whole big six thing did make me chuckle because I saw a graphic a couple of days back where I think it was Arteta's going into his third season. So the first season that we come second and I say challenge City for the title.
Yeah.
That season, everyone had us as dropping out of the big six. We're no longer a big six club. And how quickly that changes. It's bonkers.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're done. You're finished.
That's it. No, we're no more big six anymore. We're just
with Ange there. You're not going to get back there either. I'll tell you that for nothing.
You think so?
I've not made my feelings hidden. I've not hidden my feelings towards Ange all season long. I struggled with that, didn't I?
You did.
I don't think he's good enough as a manager. He's had some bad luck, but it's his style of football that's causing the injuries, and he's not managing his squad well. He doesn't have a plan B. He's not willing. Like we say that. Look, the Tottenham game this season, Arsenal Spurs at your ground when we beat you 1-0, where you had your full squad and you had more possession than us, shall we say.
We played better than you. That's a fact, Clive. We did play better than you.
I mean, injuries weren't a problem then, but we were missing Rice and Odegaard. But that aside, Arteta changed the style of play we played because of that. I don't think Ange has got that in the locker at the moment.
Well, I know we debated this at the time. I think it's because he made him change it that way.
No, yeah. I think Arteta had a plan.
You didn't. There's no way we would have put that game.
And he's had that plan against City when we weren't as good as City. He's played defensively. But Arteta will look at a fixture and he will tweak things in games where he thinks, well, the only way I'm going to get something from this game or what I need to do in that game. And I'm not saying he's the best manager in the league by a long, long way, because he's not. He makes a lot of little mistakes, in my opinion, anyway. But I don't see that willingness to adapt to the opposition from Ange. I just don't see it. And I don't think you're going to be a top manager in the Premier League unless you are.
But he's made that glaringly obvious, isn't he?
And he's stuck to it. Fair play to him for sticking to it. But for that reason, I don't think he's going to take Tottenham further than any of your previous managers has.
So just a point on that, because I've seen a lot of people say about Emerin that's obviously come into Man United, and he's also very set on his ways of how he wants to play.
Yeah.
And it feels like a lot of the Man United fans are kind of getting behind that and liking what they're hearing. Like, it's kind of almost like, well, we're just going to play that way until it eventually works and we get the players in that we want and it's going to eventually work. Do you think the reason why maybe Spurs are a little bit different is because they know that the board are not going to back, that they're not going to get the big time players that are going to be able to effectively work like that to make you a top four team in the way that Ange wants to play?
So say again?
Oh, really? That was so long.
Sorry. So you should have said something about the way Ange wants to play for a top four team.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's not going to have the money to spend on players by the looks of things to get the squad where it needs to be to play his style of football and get the top four. Do you still think he's the right man if the board don't give him the money? Is that a summary of it, Bob?
If they don't give him the money to spend on the players to get us into the top four, even... Yeah, it's like any manager, like Mourinho, like you said, like Mourinho, Conte couldn't do it. Like, you've got two of the best managers in the world, Conte and Mourinho, and if they can't do it at Tottenham, who the fuck else is going to do it at Tottenham?
But well, maybe then you just can't be one of those top clubs because you don't have that owner
that's why the Levy out stuff was going around. They weren't going after Ange. A couple of, obviously, a few fans did obviously mention it to Ange in general. But
one of them shouted at him, "Your take is down."
Yeah, exactly. And then he obviously tried to say
he
something.
Got his Aussie skin coming up.
Yeah, exactly that. So I think the Ange, the Levy out stuff. There's no dispute as to what he's done for the club in terms of financials and stuff like that. Like, it's been great for that. But we don't have the money. Or if we do, he doesn't want to spend the money like Chelsea, like the big clubs.
Again, just to kind
it's
of
the wages
weigh in
as well.
100%. There's a lot going on at that club. And I've said it so many times. You can't... The stadium will be hampering your progression loads. If you were still at White Hart Lane, you probably would have invested more in the squad.
Yeah.
And like I've said before, it's taken Arsenal 10 to 15 years to start getting back to where we want to be in regards to hopefully challenging for the titles.
Sorry.
So, don't apologise, Bob. Banter. And that's So for me, the only explainable thing from a Levy point of view, and as I think I've said it before, if it's the way that the club are going, maybe they need to have the backbone to turn around to the fans and say, look, Ange is the guy for the job for 4 or 5 years. That's the time period we've said to him. We've sat down. We've got a plan. We've got a process that we're going to follow. We've brought in young players to develop for the future. There is going to be some bad results. We are not going to finish in the top 10 this season.
That's what I was saying. I agree with you. I think that's what we need.
That's what needs to happen. Because then that will get people off of Ange's back. That will get people off of Levy's back going, yeah, well, we're not signing because the stadium's being a massive hound on that. Yeah, you had a couple of mediocre good seasons where you were in the top four and you got to a Champions League final.
I mean, it's more than a couple, but I'll get what you're saying.
Yeah, but it won't get them off their back, will it? Because, like, and I'm not talking about you, Luke, but Tottenham fans have this perception that they should be just finishing top six every season. So that's not going to change. It's not going to change regardless of what the owners say.
You can temper that expectation.
Yeah, you can, but they're not going to be happy with it. And they're still going to say,
The fans would then need to show some faith that they're doing it for the greater good. Like, as I say, the Arsenal fans, we had similar with Arsene Wenger, unfortunately. Like, there's a lot of toxic fans that were angry at Arsene Wenger for the way that the team was depreciating. And you talk to those fans now, and they're the ones that are Arteta out. Like, they are just, they've got, as you say, an expectation of a club that they don't understand or see a bigger picture. They don't understand that there's other things going on behind the scene. They see a rival buying a player for £100 million and go, well, we could have done that. Could we?
And I think that happens with, like we said on this podcast before, I do think it will happen with all clubs, right? Because even West Ham, in the state that we're in at the moment, we still get those expectations, and whether it's like top eight,
playing football,
playing the West Ham way, you know, that kind of shit. And it's always someone's fault. And obviously it's someone's fault somewhere along the lines, but eventually you need to realize that maybe we're just not, that club.
I honestly believe that and this may be my naivety, that if you turn around as a club and said, this is the process, this ruling, like Arsenal did it with Adu and Arteta, and they said, we want to be here in year two, we want to be here in year three, we want to be here in year four, we want to be here in year five. If that will buy you some grace from a large majority of your fan base, but you've got to get ahead of it. You can't. I think Tottenham is the sail ship. The ship has sailed for Tottenham in that sense. It's too late for Levy, not for Ange in that sense. I can't see him lasting past this season. They might do the right thing and see if he can get into the finals, but I can't.
Just before.
I can't see them going forward with him next year. I just can't.
I can't see him being sacked this season, but just because of where we are, not where we are in the league, but where we are.
That would be reason to sack him.
I know that, but just in the cups and stuff, and like I said, it's probably discussions that he's had with Levy anyway, and probably Levy again. Bob, I know you don't like me here saying this with the injuries, but I would assume from Levy's perspective, if you're him. And you're sitting there like, okay, well, why is Ange doing it? And then Ange goes back to him and goes, yeah, here's the list. Now you tell me, what can any manager do with five young under 21 players on the bench? Yeah. No experienced players that can come on and win you a game, like Man City, Chelsea, Arsenal, whoever it is, that can just come on and win you a game because of their experience that have played Champions League, that have played previous football, played in the league. Some of these players, like I said to you before, are still at school. You know, this is their first experience in this sort of league. And we all know how hard the Premier League is. So you've got to look at that.
Well, here's what you do.
What do you do? You sack. Okay, listen. If you sack Ange, tell me, you sack Ange tomorrow. Ange leaves tomorrow. Yeah? You tell me, what manager comes in now?
You get Sean Dyche in for 6 months and he keeps you up.
Yeah.
He keeps you up and then you replace him after 6 months.
No, but that's what I was going to say. Like,
that won't happen. Levy won't do that.
I'm not saying even about the Sakhange thing, but from Levy's point of view, like, I mean, my advice would be, well, try and be difficult to beat, first of all. Like, when you've got that lack of players and you're struggling a bit having your top performers like playing for you, make it difficult for teams to beat you. And you will get some results out of that because that's proven from loads of managers.
The young players in that squad, their confidence must be getting shot to shit every week as well.
Yeah.
And it could hinder their progression as Premier League football players. But they might start getting it in their head. They're not good enough for this level, and that will be on Ange because he's. Again, in my opinion, he's mismanaged the squad throughout the season. It's a hard thing. You have been unlucky with injuries, but again, is that due to mismanagement? I don't know.
No, we don't. As we're
science. We're not sports scientists.
No, we're not.
And it is.
But I think there's a lot of mismanagement gone on there. I generally do. But hey ho, it's putting a smile on my face every weekend at least, even when Arsenal have a bad result.
We've almost stopped talking about Spurs 4 times now. Okay. And then something else comes.
You guys keep asking the questions. And
I know.
Yeah,
it's just intriguing, isn't it? It's intriguing.
It is quite an interesting scenario that you're in, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, not for my fucking mental health issues.
I mean, I think I predicted at the start of the season Tottenham to finish in the top four and Forest to be in a relegation battle, and that's completely wrong, isn't it? Well,
yeah.
Anyway, let's move on to Arsenal Wolves, shall we?
Yeah.
Yeah, woo, yeah. So I'll start by this. We won 1-0. Brilliant. Michael Oliver, you're a big cheating cunt.
What a terrible foul that was.
Hey, listen, goal scoring opportunity stopped there.
Apparently so. But that's not even the reason. But no, the actual game itself, up until that point, there was like Kai Havertz-Smith's 2 or 3 chances, shot horror. But we looked like we was going to score. Then that happens. On our first corner as well, which rather than getting a goal, we get a red card. It is an absolute bonkers decision. There's no more to it. The one nice thing that has come from it this weekend is actually some people in the media and some other pundits, other than Sky Sports, because they've got to protect the product, have come out and said, it's madness. How have they come to that decision? Like, Oliver can get it wrong. Everyone, and what I will say is there's no need to abuse him or his family. Absolutely. There's no place for that. That's bang out of order. Abuse him when he's in the stadium, call him whatever you want, but leave it at that. Like, football ends in the stadium, right?
That's Arsenal fans for
him. Arsenal fans, mate. Let's not tarnish that brush. We're not the first. United fans were writing around their director's house once and whatnot, but yeah, there's no need for it. Football starts and ends on the pitch, and let's leave it on the pitch.
Absolutely,
everyone's allowed to make a mistake at work. Unfortunately for Michael Oliver, I don't think they're mistakes. I generally do believe he has consistently made terrible decisions against Arsenal, but I think they've all been intentional by Michael Oliver. He should have backup from VAR. Apparently they were on holiday though, and didn't see anything wrong with his decision. Maybe they're not brave enough to challenge him.
It's just always against Arsenal, isn't it?
But I will say, I want to say about this, right, and it's a bold statement, okay, but this is probably the worst decision I've ever seen from a VAR and refereeing perspective. I think that is literally the worst decision I've ever seen.
I don't know.
Absolutely terrible. I cannot see any reason for it. And like Clive says, no one's looked at that other than the people trying to protect their shitty PGMOL, whatever the fuck it is that they're doing.
PGMOL.
Like, it's just terrible. What a fucking awful decision. How can you get away with that? How can the VAR people not be looking at that and going, look, ref, you've made a fuck up here. Let's change it. I have no idea how that is a red card.
At the very least, mate, you need to go and look at the screen. Like,
yeah.
And I have said from the start, I don't want technology in football. I'm happy with goal line technology. I'd be happy with AI assisted offside. Those kind of black and white decisions. But when a decision's a matter of opinion and whatnot, I don't think technology is going to help. I really don't. And I've never been a fan of VAR. And that's not just because of decisions against Arsenal. It's because of the length of time it's taken.
70% of it would be. But I get what you're saying.
There's a higher percentage of it for sure. Yeah. And it stems from the likes of Lee Mason not drawing the lines when Brentford score an offside goal against Arsenal. What other game has that happened in?
The Liverpool game.
Yeah, Liverpool Spurs is.
Spurs. But
they're decisions that you just, like, it's your job. How are you doing that?
Yeah, and if
you're. The work but it's so consistent that they make mistakes. And I would say there's only a couple of ways you could fix VAR. And I think I've said it on the podcast before, is like, stop the clock. VAR, contentious decisions. If you're going to review it, right, let's stop the clock now and let's open up the mics like they do at rugby and cricket and go talk through the process. Because at the moment, like, they are completely... They're not governed by anything. They're like, they should be in a position where...
Stations.
It is.
They're trying to rush a decision as quickly as they can and they're panicking and everyone's talking over everyone. We're all with that.
Just stop the clock. Let two of them talk to each other. The VAR say to the assistant referees, right, your mics are cut for a second. We don't want your point of view. Say to the referee, go and watch it. Don't slow it down. Don't freeze frame it. Watch it in real time. Two or three times, however many times you need, watch it in real time and talk through with the VAR ref what your opinion is on the challenge, on the handball, on whatever it is, and be vocal and transparent with the decision there and then. That's the only way it works, in my opinion. Then,
but no one wants that, do they? No one wants that.
Nobody wants right decisions in football, clearly.
I don't think that will drive the right decisions anyway, because that is effectively what they're supposed to be doing, really, but just in the ref's ear, not for everyone to hear it. And I'm not sure that will drive the right decisions. But also, that's going to be so time-consuming. Just fucking, I'm with you, Clive. I never wanted technology. Just fucking get rid of it, have the goal line thing. Like, just fuck it. It's not working.
Working. We're talking like it was supposed to stop us talking about bad decisions. Funnily enough, we're talking about bad decisions, and it's not just one person that's making those decisions now. It's two people in the same fucking game.
Yeah, yeah. And how nice was it in the Carling Cup when
FA Cup
when we was watching games early rounds and there was no VAR and the early rounds of the Carling Cup.
Yeah, and Carling Cup. Yeah.
How nice was that?
Yeah, bring it back. I'm done with it. And I don't think there's going to... Even if Arsenal are on the good side of a decision, I don't think I'll be happy. I want it gone. I want it... Because the referees are hiding behind it and apparently their buddies, their mates, their good chums aren't brave enough to turn around to apparently the best referee in England and say, you got that wrong.
Do you know what else... Sorry, we're on a tangent now, but...
I mean, we've spoken about the actual game as much as we need to.
Yeah,
Arsenal won it 1-0.
But the whole offside thing, right? I get, like, do we need it to be that perfect? Like, some of them that you see where they draw the lines, you just think, really? Like, I would rather we just didn't have this and they didn't take the time and occasionally...
When we was growing up, it was give the benefit of the doubt to the attacker.
Yeah. Yeah, and like, just go back to that. I'm fucking sick of them looking at you know, arms and legs that might be slightly over. Like, if you look at that with the naked eye, yeah, and if you look at that with the naked eye, you think, well, that's all day long. That's onside. When we was watching football in the early 2000s and 90s, all day long, those decisions are onside because you give the benefit to the attacker, right? So just fucking keep it. It was rare, really, that you got tremendously bad decisions, right?
Yeah.
There might be.
And as we're saying, back then when we was growing up, when that was the peak of the Premier League, we are making the product. If we want it to stay the best league in the world, we are going the wrong way about it. We are making our officials look absolutely shocking. I'll say it from an Arsenal perspective and the biasness, we're making it look corrupt as fuck, where the Italian league's the only corrupt league around, really. And you're just making the product look shit. And the fact that you've got certain pundits at Sky and there's that will just back everything that these guys get wrong, it's just a laughing stock. We've got to be a laughing stock at the moment. Like, I'm done. I'm done with VAR. I'm so done with it.
Yep. Just talking about those Sky people backing things up. I was watching Soccer Saturday when that happened, and they went to the VAR guy, and you know that they have on there.
Was it Dermot or was it Mike Riley?
I think it was Mike Riley, and he was basically at first saying, oh no, like there's no way that they're going to look at this and turn it over. And then obviously they gave the red card and he was like, well, actually you can see that it starts just showing a little bit. And you're like, yeah, fuck off, mate.
Straight off.
Like, what are you talking about? Like, and everyone else was just like baffled that he was even saying that. But it's, I think that
highlights, because the rest of them, funny enough, have played professional football at a decent level. How are they, like, every one of them is saying, no, it's a yellow card. And nobody would have batted an eyelid if it was a yellow card because, yeah, he stopped a possible counter-attack. But if you look at that counter-attack, it's Matt Doherty, who's Usain Bolt, quickest player in the world, 80 yards away from goal with Nouri and Trossard going to be tracking back. He's not got a goal scoring opportunity in a lifetime. It's a yellow card. Like, get on with it.
Their thing was that the studs were showing it's got to be a red. That is basically what
Gomez's
they were saying.
Second yellow card was for a very similar challenge where his studs were showing and it went into the Arsenal defender's leg. And that was a yellow card.
Mate, yeah. that was a worse challenge.
Yeah, it was a worse challenge, yeah.
Yeah,
that was a yellow.
Yeah,
but in my mind, you know what? But this is where the human element comes into it, because, you know, consistency. I think it probably could have and would have been a red if it wasn't easier for the ref to be like, he's already on a yellow. I can just give him a second yellow here. It's kind of the same outcome. And just in case it isn't a straight red, nobody will be on my case because he's getting sent off anyway. Job.
I can, I see that thought process. He's going off the pitch anyway. Yeah. Why give him a red? Why suspend him for 3 games?
Yeah.
But he shouldn't have that power to make that decision. Like, I don't know who Wolves' next 3 games are, but if Gomez is able to play in 2 of them, that's an advantage for Wolves, right? And to be fair to Wolves, they have had a torrid time with VAR. They've been bent over backwards more than Arsenal with certain decisions this season in the Premier League. So, yeah, maybe it's just starting to equal itself out for them, but that's not, it shouldn't. Bin it off, fuck off technology, get out.
Talking of technology, man versus AI.
We've got to go there in a minute once Luke's finished typing a billion fucking things.
Sake, Luke. Sorry, I've got busy.
All right.
Anyone else want to talk about? But I could go on for days about Mike Oliver just because obviously I'm an Arsenal fan and we got a dossier out on him at the moment.
He's like one of the best refs around.
apparently so, but I don't see it. The problem for Arsenal is we'll get Anthony Taylor next, and we don't like him either. So,
I mean, I don't think there's any ref you like, to be fair, is there?
Not in the current crop. No, you're right.
No, this is because you can't pay him like you used to when Wenger was about.
No, it's because they're all Northern.
Good.
Literally, literally, they're all Northern. What are you supposed to do? But yeah, let's go into Man versus AI, because I don't want to speak about Mike Oliver anymore. Man versus AI. So talk amongst yourself whilst I get stuff up.
See, this didn't happen when I was doing it, did it? This didn't happen.
Not once.
Well, I mean, there is one week where you completely forgot to do week. Predictions. So
I don't remember that, to be honest. It was all part of my ploy to make the people laugh, Clive.
I don't know. I will say 3 hours ago, Lewis Skelly's ban was overturned.
Yes.
So happy days.
Well done.
Right. So let's have a quick little rundown of the results, which is going to make Clive smile again. So we'll start with Luke Jaw. Luke Jaw predicted a 3-1 win against Leicester.
I mean, as it should have been.
0 points. Mitchell predicted a 1-1 draw with Chelsea, 0 points. Clive predicted a 2-1 win, got 1 point. Bob predicted a 2-0 loss and got 0 points. AI predicted a 2-1 win for Arsenal against Wolves, so got 1 point. Predicted a 2-1 win for City against Chelsea, so got 1 point. Predicted a 1-1 draw with Tottenham and Leicester, so got 0 points there. Predicted a two-all draw, West Ham, Aston Villa, so got 1 point there, totaling 3 points.
Did we get Tom to do a prediction again?
We did not this week, no, we did not.
Can we just say he got 1 point anyway?
He got three. He got three.
So the current league table, well, I'll just do, AI is on 68 points, humans are on 52 points.
Dropping behind again.
Not making any ground here at the moment. Luke, start predicting some losses, man. Come on.
Nope.
You are costing us, Luke.
Mitchell.
We ain't catching up anyway, even if I predicted statistically all our losses.
If you predicted 13 losses,
yep.
You would be in a much better place.
I'd be in a better place, but us first.
And we would be in a much better place. Right. So, Mitchell, top of the league, 16 points. Clive has joined Bob on 15 points and has actually gone second for some reason. Not alphabetical, clearly.
It's just Clive bias and your spreadsheets.
Luke, surprise, surprise, is still sitting on 6 points.
How long has he been on 6 points for?
I will tell you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He's on a 7-game losing streak as well.
Just mentioned his manager.
Fucking hell, mate.
So I'm going to start with Luke. What do you reckon on Brentford at home to Tottenham?
Let's go 2-1 win.
2-1 Tottenham win.
It's going to be 2-1 Brentford.
I nearly put 12-1 there. And that wouldn't be... it's Luke, so... I mean, I don't think that would raise any eyebrows.
Is you going to say elbows?
Yeah, I was. I'm tired as well. I'll go... Oh, we've got two big games this weekend, boys. We've got Arsenal, yeah. Man City. What am I going to predict? I am going to go... 2-2 draw.
Oh, that's exactly what I was thinking, actually. Was that the result in the first game?
It was.
Yeah.
I'm so tempted to go for an Arsenal win, but...
Do it.
No, I'm going to stick with 2-2. I don't want to wear that Tottenham shirt at the end of the season. Not that I think there's any risk of that nowadays. Yeah. Who is at home? Chelsea. So we go to Mitchell for his prediction first. Mitchell, Chelsea v West Ham.
you know what? I just think Potter's going to be wanting to do some damage, isn't he? He's got a point to prove. So I'm not going to predict a Chelsea win.
You just bottle it when it's West Ham, didn't you?
I do. I'm going to go for a Desmond. We're going to go 2-2.
Another 2-2. Well, West Ham away to Chelsea. 1-1.
Yeah.
Oh, he was quick with that as well. I didn't even think about it. He's thought about it all day long.
I have, yeah. And I was thinking that Mitchell's going to predict 1-1 and I was going to be so pissed off. But, yeah. Thank you, Mitchell.
You're welcome.
All right, let's get the West Ham. Well, let's get AI to do its ting.
Boop, 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 beep.
Oh.
Oh.
Was it me?
Right, here we go. Whoa. Brentford v Tottenham. Brentford. Oh, Luke. Brentford 1, Tottenham 2.
Yeah.
Rationale. Tottenham has shown resilience in recent away fixtures, and their attacking lineup featuring players like Son, Madison has been effective. I'm not so sure on that. Brentford, while strong at home, may find challenging to contain Spurs' offensive threats. All right.
Sorry, what was that?
It's predicted Tottenham 2, Brentford 1. It's copied you.
Of course it has. So, let's get some wins.
You got your doll out again, Luke.
My what out?
Your doll.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Don't worry.
I know this was something for a few podcasts ago, but mate, I'm so not with it. 50 hours sleep in 3 days is a killer.
Such a nerd.
Yes.
Arsenal versus Man City. Prediction: Arsenal 1, Man City 2. Rationale: City has a strong track record against Arsenal, winning 8 of the past 10 meetings between the two sides. City's recent form, I don't know if that's true, City's recent form and depth in the squad gives them the edge, even when playing away. Alright, I mean, gives me a chance to make some points. Chelsea v West Ham. Right, it's not predicted a draw either. So, Chelsea 2, West Ham 1. Chelsea's home advantage and recent positive performances suggest that they can secure a win against West Ham. However, West Ham's attacking capabilities mean they are likely to pose a significant challenge, potentially finding the net drawing the match.
Attacking capabilities?
I don't agree with any of those. Or any of the rationale. But, I mean, it's still beating us by a mile, so who are we to doubt?
Yeah, we really need to stop questioning the robot, don't we?
It does love a 2-1 prediction.
It does love a 2-1 prediction. And there's got to be something in that, right?
Yeah.
Right, I think we're done. We've got no water freeze. It's an hour and 20 minutes. Luke's typing is slowly doing me in.
Sorry, Mike's going to have to do a lot of... editing.
Just noises. Cutting your mic noises, yeah.
You Mike, put yourself you on mute, his mic. To be fair. Yeah.
Oh, I could do, but I'm not forgetting to talk.
He'd forget, yeah, and he'd be going on a rant for 20 minutes.
But that would be even funnier, to be fair.
It'd be funnier for us, but the listeners wouldn't get it. So.
Yeah, that's it. Again, apologies. Yeah, it's been a... just everything's killed me.
For everyone listening, Luke's been... cucking it up in Holland.
Mate, you're
you want to be in especially.
Oh dear, Clive, I haven't listened to this.
And we're done.